Ira set his alarm to sound in the middle of the night to ascend to Piazza with the other warriors, though he hardly slept before he heard it buzz. He rose much before the sun, positioned himself in usual meditation, and woke once more in the heart of camp. He joined the line of others getting outfitted in their full armors and furs. Drex's associates fit bits and pieces they didn't have in training onto the warriors' bodies, including helmets made from large humanoid skulls. "Do the bones come from trolls?" Ira asked the warrior in front of him. "Nah," he said. "It's against the law to kill trolls. You never wonder where they came from before you saw the skulls?" Ira didn't respond. In truth, the helmets did make the whole thing seem a bit more morbid. "They're from apes," the warrior continued. "Big ones. Walk like we do." Ira refrained from vocalizing his first thought, that there aren't apes native to North America, recognizing it came from hawker culture. The sinking sun reflected its orange across the sky. The warriors huddled when they were addressed.
"Now is the time,"
Drexa said, standing in front, voice muffled by her thick skull mask.
"Everything we've trained for comes down to right now. Look around ya, at your brothers and sisters. Now is the time to love and protect them, to channel your anger. Tonight, Kavadi pays for what he has done. Tonight, Kavadi dies."
The dragons cheered. Drexa stood there for a moment, staring intently across the group, like they should know what she was thinking. She widened her eyes, pushing this point even further. When no one even cared to guess, the words came quietly.
"Line up."
The warriors swarmed the mouth of the cave, struggling to position in single file. Ira and Cumin led the line, waiting for Kai to come out with the keys. No noise came from the cave's depths.
"Kai?"
Cumin shouted. His soft voice echoed within the mountain. Soon, he smelled smoke. Ira squinted when a growing light came from the back of the cave. When he realized what it was, he jumped into the air and hovered above the mouth in an instant. A huge blast of fire shot from within, knocking the slow warriors down to the ground. The others leaped out of the way when the enormous beasts tromped over each other, running through the explosion to get out of the cave. Dragon after dragon shot out like missiles, taking to the skies to escape the flame. They chomped and scratched at each other, angry. The warriors scattered, looking up at the beasts who flew up Katoga.
"What's happening?"
one of them shouted, directed at Drexa. The war chief remained in an offensive position and must have felt like the rest of them, ready to respond but not sure how. Many of the warriors grabbed the calls from their necks and blew into them. Massive roars amplified from Piazza's walls. A few dragons returned to camp and joined their owners. The warriors flew up the mountain, still calling. Following the lead of the others, the large group of escaping dragons started to make their way back to Piazza. Vinegar didn't stray far. Ira met her in the air, and he hopped on her back. They glided down to the base of the others who sat on the dragons. No one moved. Ira held tight on Vinegar's bare back. He'd never felt her so tense, so ready to pounce. From the smoke-suffocating darkness, Kai's figure came. He stumbled out, steaming, covered in coyote pelt regalia. Vinegar flew toward Cumin. Ira stared from above, jittery. No one made a move. Even Drexa held her position, perhaps waiting for Kai to say something. Anything. But he just stood. Then, he jumped into the sky. Large, blood-red wings tore through the coyote skin. His body stretched and elongated, his own skin hardened and parted into scales. The dragon that remained, dark red with black markings across its body, couldn't have fit through the cave mouth, close to twice the size of the others. Horns of every size protruded from all inches of its head, fangs stretched far beyond its jawline. It landed, balancing itself on one of Piazza's pillars. Smoke rose from its entire body still as it watched the warriors fetch after their dragons.
"It's Kai!"
Ira shouted to Cumin. His heartbeat pounded in his eardrums. Cumin's eyes doubled in size through the holes in his skull mask.
"Kavadi is a shifter!"
"On your command!"
someone shouted from the back. Drexa stood on the ground among the dragons, looking at the beast on the pillar. The thing's long neck stretched to look at the line of dragons. Its head shot into the air and roared so loud Ira's ears rung. It didn't seem like that of an angered beast, but a man. A frustrated growl. A shadow covered the camp. The warriors looked up to see massive storm clouds spreading across the sky. Thunder roared back. Cumin looked up with thick breath.
"The lightning, remember?"
Ira shielded his eyes as a lightning bolt fired down and struck Katoga's peak. Through the horizon, he could see six more in a line down the range, one for each of the peaks. When he moved his arm, a massive bird remained where the lightning struck on the mountain tip above him, smoke rising from its feathers. It looked big enough to swallow his dragon. As the bird dove down toward the camp, the warriors spread through the sky. A few fell off, unable to hold on tight without reins. Within minutes, six other birds showed up, each of them vicious-looking eagles dark gray in color. Lightning spread across their talons.
"What do we do?" asked Ira.
Cumin turned his attention back on Kavati.
"We kill him."
He dove down toward the monster. Each time a thunderbird touched the earth, lightning shot from the sky. It came from their talons and beaks. It spread through their wings to the other birds. Dragons brave enough to come near were obliterated and fell to the dirt. After witnessing this a few times, the warriors learned to stay as far as possible from them, chased like helpless prey. The enormous dragon stared at Cumin and Vinegar coming in. Kavati shot a fire blast the size of the two of them put together. They dodged around it, breathing fire back. He didn't seem phased, launching himself into the sky. Wind blustered with each flap of his wings. The rest of the warriors joined, each staying clear of the thunderbirds while going after the big dragon. The seven birds circled around the beast, shooting lightning around it. Not long and the Piasa warriors backed off, waiting for Drexa to call a retreat, defeated by eight monsters. They flew about the sky, fluttering between beasts. Rain poured from the thick clouds. The sound of a large horn came from below, unlike any dragon call. Drexa remained on the ground, now on the outskirts of camp. Ira watched her point to the other end of the mountain. Incoming, an army.
"Attack!"
Drexa shouted, stowing the call. Thunderbirds chased the dragons as they flew toward the incoming threat. On closer inspection, they were goblins. Close to 200 of them. Dragons flew down, taking them out many at a time. The goblin kids shot large blasts of dark energy, knocking warriors out of the sky. They generated huge walls of force, shielding themselves from the fire and claws. Ira zigzagged through the sky, escaping a thunderbird. Lightning shot from its wings as it chased. It flew much faster than Vinegar, who dipped and turned through the sky attempting to escape. Ira tightened his stomach, holding in vomit. He jerked up on Vinegar's horns, turning her around. The bird opened its beak, lightning zapping through the crease. The warrior dipped underneath it. The bird turned around and continued in pursuit. Ira flew faster and faster, but the bird closed in. Vinegar grew tired. Ira knew there would be no escape. The thunderbird opened its beak wide. So close, Ira could hear the bolts crackle down the monster's throat. At the sound of a blast, Ira closed his eyes and let go of the dragon. Vinegar dipped down, but they were still alive. When Ira felt a pair of arms embrace him from behind, he opened his eyes in an instant and grabbed onto the dragon's torso. Fia held tight against the incoming winds.
"Evie!"
he shouted.
"Fia!"
she yelled back. Lightning climbed up and down her wand as she waved it in the air. The three of them turned invisible. Ira directed Vinegar underneath the bird again, and it kept going and lost them.
"How do you do that?"
he asked Fia.
"Size shifting," she said.
"The noun is the verb. I saw you getting chased, and I'd be chased too if I didn't turn myself small."
"No, how are we still alive right now?"
Ira couldn't see her, but felt her embrace. He looked toward the sound of her voice and the smell of smoke coming from her wand.
"I blocked the blast. And this invisibility. You saved my life. Why are Faye's not at Piasa again?
All her tricks are for defense. I don't know how I'd ever face off against a threat," Fia said, her voice insincere, fueled by adrenaline.
"Is now an inappropriate time to make fun of your tiny hands?" asked Ira.
"You have seen a Fae before, right?" she asked. They flew down above the goblins scattered throughout the canyon. Ira watched as creatures took down dragons with blunt blasts of power.
"There goes 100 years of progress,"
Fia shouted over the high winds.
"What's the plan?"
Ira yelled behind him.
"You see that group of goblins? There, the yellow dragon."
Fia sounded deep in concentration.
"Drop me there."
Their opacity thickened when Vinegar's feet touched the earth. She blasted the goblins ganging up on the mustard dragon. Ira leaped off Vinegar headfirst and clawed one of the goblins to the ground. He singed his wrinkled face with breath. When he looked up, Fia swept one of the goblins' legs with her wand. The goblin grabbed her by the waist and they tumbled down the hill. The third goblin shot a slab of black energy at Ira. He rolled across the hard rocks. Vinegar stepped between them and shot fire at the hostel. The goblin brushed the dirt off her dark uniform and she stood to face Fia.
"You're not supposed to be here," Lily said. "How did you even find me?"
I'm a spy, said Fia. She withdrew her wand and held it low, point-facing Lily.
Why would you make me do this?
Lily asked. She held her fist. Black energy surrounded them.
I'm not. Bane is.
I'm not brainwashed,
Lily shouted, voice weak.
After all this time, how do you still not care about me?
Fia raised her wand higher. Don't make me do it. You know you can't outcast me. You have no idea what I've learned. Lily opened her fist and played with the energy as it sizzled between her fingers. Do it then, Fia said. She lowered her wand. If you really care about this psychopath more than me, just do it. Lily's fist tightened once again. She concentrated. Suddenly the ground around her started to shake. The earth ruffled up and launched the goblin back into a thick tree trunk. The branches wrapped around her. Fia took steps back, looking around. Mila uncloaked herself inches away from her student. Maybe you were willing to lose your life over trust, but I'm not done mentoring it yet.
She wasn't gonna do it, Fia said.
Try me, Lily spat, struggling to break free from restraint.
You have no heart if you are willing to hide under Hawker domination. Today it ends. Today Hawker nations across the globe will know that we exist, and we are ready to fight.
As Mila lifted her wand, branches wrapped around Lily's mouth, muffling her speech. Lily jerked her head, trying to escape the entwining brambles.
I saved your life,
she screamed before the twigs muffled her once again. Fia's eyes teared up.
And you tried to end it a minute ago. Along with countless others.
She turned and walked toward Mila. Let's go, she said. Mila followed her away from Lily's dampened screams.
You aren't mad? She asked.
Fia turned around and fell into her embrace. Mila wrapped her arms around her tightly.
You came, Fia said.
Goblins surrounded Ira and Vinegar. Relentless, they shot blasts back and forth between their fists into them. Ira took cover underneath Vinegar's wings, but she soon wailed from pain. In swift movement, Ira hopped out from underneath and flew up onto her back. He grabbed on and hunched down onto his stomach, fleeing from the incoming punches. He patted Vinegar's back and she lifted in the air. The ache from exercising her wings made her wail louder. The blast didn't let up. More and more goblins joined the effort. Vinegar moved toward Piazza, vulnerable to countless hits from all directions. Ira held on tight, hugging her.
It's going to be okay. Head toward the cave.
You're done.
Vinegar wheezed at the pain it took to flap. She lowered her movement, attempting to coast down to camp. The shots kept coming in. Ira watched as her eyelids fell to their base. When this happened, she collapsed from the air, smacking into one of Piazza's stone pillars. Ira fell to the ground, recovering from the blow. Tears drenched his face as he stood. Vinegar lay on the ground in such an uncomfortable position. Her whole stomach flattened out, her legs squished into awkward angles, lifeless. He knew she'd never stand again. Goblins emerged behind him. He dodged their blasts, running through the pillars to Drexa, who stood in the middle of the chaos. With her right hand, she threw excruciating blasts of flame at the crowd around her. The flame plumed, not letting up. Her left hand, grasping a wand, spread wafts of stone from the tip of the pillars. She was building any sort of shelter against the merciless birds above. Ira breathed fire at the bodies blocking his way. He ran up to her, out of breath.
Vinegar is dead, he shouted.
She looked over at him, sweating, both arms at work. She opened her mouth wide, shot fire to the goblins approaching behind him.
Keep your position,
she yelled through the smoke billowing from her throat.
They're still coming.
Vinegar is dead,
Ira shouted again, trying to keep his voice stable.
So was half my army, boy.
She tried to focus on the shelter.
Call a retreat.
Retreat where?
She looked between him and the incoming goblins, angry.
They have the place surrounded. There's no escaping this.
Ira tightened his fists, back turned from Drexa, waiting for the next attack. He looked north of Katoga, where it carved down the edge of the island. Something cut through the clouds, pushing up against the mountainside. The warrior wiped his eyes again to be sure. Through the endless expanse of sky, in place of the cloud vapor that typically buffered the island's edge, it looked to be a wave. The wall of water crashed into the mountain and rushed down it. The remaining warriors flew above, keeping a close eye on the Thunderbirds. The enormous wave washed through the goblins, who were unable to make a force field big enough to block it. It shallowed as it spread. Ira looked down to the figures emerging from the water, merpeople, in full silver and gold-plated armor. They held long spears but used them like wands, directing the water any way they willed. They swept the goblins with water and stabbed with their spears. They did this with rhythm and authority, clearly well rehearsed. Kavadi left his post to join the fight. Ira looked over at the two Fae hovering over the chaos. He joined them.
"Did Fae send for them?" he asked.
Mila shook her head.
"They're not with the army?" Fia asked.
Ira shook his head, looking back down at the fight. One of the Murs lifted from the crowd and flew toward them. As she left the water, her fins split into two and formed into legs. None of the others like her looked to have wings. Mila drew her wand.
"You don't think they're on our side?" Fia asked.
Brooklyn approached, her skin smooth and gray. Fia collapsed into her embrace.
"Ash!"
"Not anymore," she said.
"Where have you been? What's happening?"
Fia's questions were frantic. Ira stayed on guard, eyes shooting around at the hectic surroundings. Brooklyn had no time to respond. Only one pillar remained unsubmerged by water. On it, a figure appeared from nothing. Ira pointed.
"You see that?"
Brooklyn grabbed Fia by the wrist.
"Come!"
Mila and Ira followed the two down to the pillar, where Eliana stood. Brooklyn joined the legendary on top while the others, without room on the stone, hovered above the water. She watched them ogle at the two's relationship.
"What are you doing here?"
Brooklyn transferred the words to Eliana.
"It isn't safe for you."
"You convinced my people to create a wave large enough to climb to an island in the sky. I cannot just sit around waiting, knowing they are up here dying for me."
"We are here so you don't have to be. Please," Brooklyn said.
"I have the power to end the fight," Eliana said, eyeing the massive dragon circling in the sky. She unclamped the thin, gold necklace from around her neck and handed it to Brooklyn. In the center, a metallic orca.
"Stow this for me, would you?"
Brooklyn held the thing but kept contact with Eliana's eyes.
"What?"
she asked. "I'm not above fighting dirty."
"Now move, child. You're right. It isn't safe."
"Good luck," Brooklyn said, and hopped down with the others. She turned with them, watching Kavadi shrink. Through dark rain, she saw his scales smooth to skin. His horns thinned to hair, but his wings remained. His body ignited with flame as he launched himself at the legendary.
"Move!"
Brooklyn said out loud, pushing the others out of the way. Eliana spread her arms, creating a gust which knocked them over the hillside, out of range. Kavadi shot down into her like a meteor. The two of them penetrated the water, then the floating earth. The island broke off with impact. The wave withdrew from the island and enveloped Eliana, protecting her from Kavadi's flame. They struggled to push through their layers of energy to contact one another. Kavadi flew from the floating body of water and shot blasts of fire into it. Each time, the flame sizzled into steam. Eliana emerged from the top of the mass and tried to whip him with streams quicker than he dodged. Brooklyn and the others looked to the fight above and below them, unsure of how to contribute. On the ground, many of the goblins looked to be retreating. As night fell, Kavadi's flame became the sky's biggest source of light. Next to the moon, large and full.
Hello. So, Kai has been Kavadi the entire time. I would love to know if you guys saw that coming.
Yeah, so Kavadi is obviously a shapeshifter, as been pretty apparent in this chapter. And working for Piasa, taking care of the dragons for him, served two purposes. So, obviously, pretty much any single strategic meeting with the military he was in on. So he knew all their secrets the entire time. So that's obviously a big one. But also, your average person doesn't own dragons. So it's pretty much, I mean, there's the underground dragon ring, which Kavadi was a part of for many years as a slave. And then there's the government who owns the dragons. Because they're a wily animal to have. So the Piasa warrior, Camp Piasa, is like the biggest conglomeration of captive dragons in existence, probably. I mean, who knows? but it's one of the bigger ones. So of course, definitely the biggest on Tatoo. So of course he's gonna want to be there, and like he was kind of explaining when he was Kai, that he's gonna want to be there to make sure that they're taken care of well, because he doesn't think that they should be in cages at all. Of course, because he is a dragon, was born a dragon. Let's see what else. The Thunderbirds show up. This is hinted at before, of course, when Cumin and Ira are out flying with Kai. And they ask him, you know, how many dragons does he own personally? And he says none, because, you know, their fire breath is not powerful enough, not as powerful as lightning. So even though he doesn't say he has Thunderbirds, there's some foreshadowing there. Let's see, what else? Fia, of course, joins the fight, which he said she was going to a few times. But not only that, Mila joins the fight, which has been, you know, her arc the entire time is Mila holding her back, and then I guess Mila comes around and decides that she's right. Of course, Brooklyn joins the fight with the merpeople. And then, yeah, finally, at the end, it's revealed that, you know, the sun goes down, and it's a full moon, which means, of course, that starting next episode, Christian's going to turn into a werewolf, and we're going to follow up with the whole what's going on with Morgan and Christian. And, of course, Kavadi and Eliana are on a full-fledged fight, so we just might see the conclusion there, too. So, this was a big episode. Next episode's going to be a really big episode. And then I think there's just one more after that, and then we're done. So, super, super exciting. But, yeah. Reach out. Feel free. Tell me what you think. And be excited for the next episode. All right. As always, thanks for listening, and catch you next time.